Jeff, can you tell what Robbie gaining the weight he's gained this offseason? Can you notice a difference in him at these workouts?
Not really. I mean, it's not yet summer here, so guys are in sweats and stuff. I mean, I don't know that it's all that noticeable. He said he feels good where he's at. I asked him that question the other day, and he said he's going to continue to work on those things.
Did you like that idea of him gaining weight? Is that typical for kickers to do when they get older?
You know, I think guys kind of know their bodies, know what works for them. There's a couple new things that he's trying, and he's a veteran enough guy to, you know, make an assessment how he feels going into camp and any adjustments from there. I'm sure he'll make.
How might it help him?
I mean, I think he's, I'd hate to speak for him. I think some guys gain weight for the attrition through long season camp. You know, maybe that's the idea. Again, we just kind of, with a specialist, I mean, it's not like he's going to come out at 240, you know, gain 50 pounds or whatever it is. You know, if he feels good, then, you know, we're all for it.
How rare is it for someone to block 9 kicks in college, and how does that typically translate to the NFL?
I've worked with some guys in the past who've been successful, you know, kick blockers in college and have done a good job in the league. You know, probably the last guy with this kind of profile is Justin Bethel. He's done a good job, you know, in the kicking game. We had a guy named Keith Lewis we drafted as a safety out of Oregon who had a bunch of block punts in college. He continued to do that at the league. I mean, guys kind of get a feel for the timing of those things and take some guts to get in there, and then some body control to avoid the penalties that you can get, you know, being that close. So how rare it is, I'd have to do a stat assessment, but he's pretty good at it.
In this setting, what do you look for from returners?
Well, I mean, just first of all, can they catch? I mean, there's a limited amount of things you're going to ask a guy to do at rookie minicamp. There's not a whole lot of congestion around people, bodies flying by, like there will be when there's pads on in games and things like that. So first of all, can they catch? How well can they track the ball? You know, ball security is always going to be important. Decision making, not a whole lot of pressure in this setting. So you just kind of get a feel for where they're at now and make that assessment going forward.
With Braverman, I know he did some in college.
Sure.
Does he have the skill set to make that work?
Well, we're going to find out. I mean, he was a primary guy for them offensively. You know, arguably, I mean, I don't know every player on their roster, but he was probably their biggest weapon. You know, you take some of those things off of a guy, sometimes they can kind of merge as a returner where that's their full-time deal. Now, how well he fits into our offense, you know, that remains to be seen. And, you know, we're going to give him a chance as a return guy. But workload can sometimes impact those guys, you know, especially over the course of a season.
What did you like about DeAndre Houston Carson's college tape covering kicks and punts?
Yeah, I mean, he's got a lot of background doing those things. He's a guy who can run. He's got some decent size length to him. You know, he's an active guy. He always seems to find the football. I mean, Larry cited the block kicks, but, you know, there's a couple of return touchdowns he has, both defensively and off of block kicks. You know, he was a scoop and score guy. So, you know, guys that have a knack for ball skills in college, that usually translates. We'll see, you know. But, you know, his college shape is pretty good.
From your experience with Omar Bolden, what does he bring to this group that was missing?
Yeah, well, I don't know if I'd cite what was missing, but Omar's a guy with a lot of versatility. You know, he's played some corner, he's played safety, he's played the nickel. So defensively, you know, there's a lot of places he can play. He did a great job for us at Gunner when he was in Denver. He emerged as our kickoff return in the second half of, I believe, 14, and did a really good job there. He's just a guy who can do a lot of things and a lot of things well, and, you know, we're happy that we can add him to the mix. There's a lot of competition at that spot, especially after the draft, so we'll see how it all shakes out, let him play and get through the preseason and see where it all settles.
Bringing back Jaquiz and Chris and Sherrick, what does that do for you heading in, knowing you have these guys who have already been in the system and going to help out?
Yeah, there's some continuity there. Last year, everybody on our roster was new to the way that we want them, you know, to train, to perform, the different schematic things. There's more guys, obviously, on our roster now who know what the expectations are. They know what we're trying to ask them to do. The continuity usually is a good thing, but we're going to add these young guys to the mix and let them all compete and, again, see where it settles, you know, at the end.
With that in mind, do you feel like you have more options just looking at the guys that are being brought in, these rookies, that you have more options to contribute on special teams?
I'd hate to, you know, use a comparison between this year and last year. I mean, there was a lot of roster attrition early last year, in training camp last year, in the spring last year, and then continued through the first half of the season, just trying to find guys who kind of fit, you know, what we like and trying to put them into situations where they can be successful. I feel like we're at a better, you know, starting point. I feel like, you know, some of the skill positions were a little more athletic, a little faster. You know, we'll see how it all fits in. I mean, there's 90 guys on the team right now. You know, eventually it's going to get to 53, and then you've got to find 46 guys that can play on Sunday. There's a lot of things that can happen between now and then that can affect those things. But, you know, we feel good about where we're at right now, and we'll see how far we can develop that.
Being the guys weren't wearing pads the last 3 days, what exactly did you learn from your rookie minicamp?
The thing we're really trying to find out is, can these guys continue to progress each day? You know, the first day, you know, you've been through a few of these as coaches, and, you know, the expectations are always high because you're excited about getting on the grass, and you realize it's day one for all these guys. And so it's not a real clean practice in a lot of different ways, but can they be better during the walkthrough on Friday afternoon than they were Friday morning? Can they be better Saturday morning? And that's collectively, but it's also individually. You're trying to find out, you know, the tryout guys, what are their skill sets? What can they do? Anytime that you work with a guy and you're able to talk to him, teach him, and actually know, okay, this is what you're supposed to be doing, you know, can we do that? And if you make a mistake, are you going to make it twice? Those are the kind of evaluations that you try and do, I think, in all three phases of the ball, of the game. Specifically for us, you get to know their retention. How fast do they learn? And we're not throwing a ton of things at them, but, you know, from that nature, you know, just looking for that arrow to continue to be going up.
How do you feel about touchbacks on kickoffs being spotted at the 25?
I mean, that's what the league says, so we're going to play by the rules. Good. Camera lens. No Siri today. No offense. Here's what I think. I think strategically there's going to be a lot of things that happen in the preseason. They're going to kind of indicate what guys are willing to do. Generally speaking, in the preseason, kickers aren't trying for touchbacks. I mean, it's just the way it is. That's kind of been what's been said media-wise is, you know, the mortar kicks are, you know, trying to keep the ball. Well, that's what happens in the preseason anyways, because you're trying to get an evaluation not only schematically, but it doesn't do you any good to evaluate some of the six or seven guys you guys have all brought up if the ball's going, you know, through the end. Sometimes it happens. But I think strategically there'll be a time and a place where every team's going to try and keep the ball in play. I think there's going to be a time and a place where guys are going to say, shoot, touchbacks, you know, it's good here. The scoring difference between the drives that started at the 20 and the 25 isn't that big of a difference. It's not this huge number like you're giving up an extra 10 points a game simply by kicking touchbacks. But I think as the season plays out, I think you'll see some different teams with some different philosophies on those things.
What factors do you kind of have in mind that you're going to want to evaluate going through this as to decide how you're going to approach it?
There's two different phases. You're talking about a kickoff phase, and you're talking about a kickoff return phase. Are people kicking the ball high? Are people kicking the ball deep? Are they going more right than left? Are they, you know, is the ball in the middle? You know, you think you know, but until those things start to play out, I mean, there was a lot of discussion. Boy, the PAT is going to the 15. Well, there were some people who thought that you're going to increase fakes on extra points. That didn't happen. You know, there's some people who think it's going to be a lot more aggressive. I mean, it just played out about the same that it always had. Now, the percentages of makes, you know, went down, but you don't really know how everything's going to be affected until you start playing the games and seeing what everybody's thoughts and ideas are.